Chapter 18. The ocean was the last great unconquered space in the mortal realms outside of mighty Azir. It was greater than any army, vaster than the ambition of any god. It was older than all of them, and would be there when they perished. When the time came for Nagash himself, the great ender of endings, to expire, there would be the sea, lapping at his bones. It was the breaker of continents, that which all people, whatever their race and to whomever their souls were pledged, prayed to and feared, and it was that which Laramie had summoned a shard of now. The spirit her power had called forth was the maelstrom around which the broken corpses of elves and monsters and fractured polyp titans swirled. Lurien fought against it. His cloak pulled at him like a sail. He, a ship facing into the wind, whipping about him in coloured tatters. Whisperwood arrows flew at him only to be bent off course and snap, torn up by the swelling violence that screamed about the body of the Lagithae spirit. Even now, she was trying to protect him.
"You think I needed your help to be king?"
Lurien yelled into the storm. It was being drenched in hatred as completely as the Eidoneth whose blades had already slaughtered one another, and whose bodies now circled their former queen. He knew this, but the closer he drew to the Avatar, the more powerful the rage became, and the less he even wanted to resist.
"Perhaps you should have thought of it when you were alive!"
He brandished Eslakai, screaming in senseless fury as the toe pushed him several feet back. She was so huge, but so far away he could not even get close.
"Here is something I regret never sharing with you while you lived."
"I am the end."
The voice of Calamity rumbled from the deep water as the Lagithae spirit dropped to one knee and impaled a Turak Leviathan. A Fuathtar split the monster's iron-hard shell and pinned the beast to the sea floor. Shockwaves rippled outwards, shredding the shell castles on the monster's back and the elves that still cowered within them, still powerful enough by the time they reached Lurien to hurl him back, erasing minutes of painstaking progress in one brutal expulsion of power. A hand caught his wrist and dragged him from the current. He made to strike it off, but at the last moment did not. Residual common sense, or the additional distance pushed between him and the Eidolon, had restored his powers of reason somewhat. The face that the hand belonged to was familiar, if not friendly, contorted by a spectacular infusion of hatred, forehead, namastir, and spiked collar, gleaming with the silvery emanations of the Soul Titan. Every muscle of her face was locked hard against its influence, but nevertheless, when she shook his arm, it was with more violence than she needed for attention she already had. Namariel. So many had died. Some he had killed himself. Most, however, could be laid at this Namartai's feet, and his relief that she was not now one of them surprised him. In the face of Laramie's horror, he supposed even her face could appear friendly.
"It would take an army to destroy that thing!" she yelled. "Ours is gone, and even if you could command every elf still here, you would never get close enough to succeed."
"Then what do you propose, run? Become king of Briamdar simply because there's no one left alive with a better claim? If I don't stop Laramie now, then I'm only delaying a battle I might not be able to win later. I don't want to leave an enemy as powerful as Laramie bent on my destruction."
"I propose exactly that, my prince. It is Laramie. You have to stop."
Lurien did not ask how the Namartai was so well informed on the darkest secret of the Isharan Corrales. She was Nathir. Her life had been devoted to the souls of the Corrileum and the gods for whom the Eidoneth waited. Before she had decided to throw off her chains and play kingmaker, she knew of what she spoke.
"Then where is she?" said Lurien. "I can't see her in this."
Namariel indicated one of her blind eyes.
"You do not need to. Follow me."
With that, she turned, legs locked together like the tail of a fish, and plunged into the riptides. With a last hateful glare at the spirit titan of his mother, Lurien followed her in. It was like stepping into a river, going into it head first. They were a long way from the whirlpool that surrounded the Lagithe spirit, but it was already starting to pull the surrounding currents into the direction it had chosen. Lurien imagined that every beach and estuary in the Green Gulch would soon be feeling the tug on its flows, and in time the entire ocean would fall into a screaming vortex with its eye over Gwethyn, if Lagithe was allowed to do so. She had the power. Time was all she needed. Time and permission. Lurien paddled like a drowning dog. The currents were too fast. An explosion of cloak pulled out behind him, billowing and collapsing as he tumbled. His stomach turned flips depending on the direction he fought against from moment to moment. Flashes of pink and silver appeared through the churn of debris and dying monsters as he was dragged around and around the Soul Titan. The Avatar's wrathful aura had driven Lurien at it directly, goading him into attacking the currents head-on. But the path of wisdom had been to surrender. The currents themselves took him in, closer with every loop, with a speed and power that the mightiest of Turak's Fangmora breeds could not rival. The amount of debris in the water thickened as they drew closer to the epicenter of destruction. Arrows, bits of metal scale. It began to patter on Lurien's armour.
Lurien!
Namariel's voice was thin from where she spun ahead of him.
Stay with me!
Struggling to contain his cloak with one hand, Lurien battled towards her. Blood puffed from the Namatai's thigh as a piece of metal, trapped in the same inward spiral that she was, punched through her leg. She screamed and fought to keep swimming, her kicks becoming one-sided. Lurien snatched a fistful of her cloak. The pair of them spun together, screaming, combined weight and odd shape, pushing them out to the faster-flowing straits at the vortex's edge. The cloak began to tear.
"Take my hand!"
Namariel yelled.
"No!"
said Lurien, even holding on to her clothing made his skin creep.
"Lurien!"
She flailed a hand at him. He ignored it instead, pulling himself hand over hand up her cloak.
"Where are we?"
he yelled into her face, still barely heard.
"Close! I can sense her!"
Namariel turned her head sharply as they tumbled, blank eyes roving. Lurien did not know what she was looking for. He would never know half of what she perceived. But when a watery light briefly pushed away the silvery craze of light and long shadows thrown by the Soul Titan, he noticed. Namariel did not seem to. Lurien turned his head in that direction.
"What?"
said Namariel, sensing his reaction.
"What did you see?"
He saw Larame. She was a point of light, bright and hard, far away still, and relative to him at least, moving fast. His sense of her was intuitive. The way his skin could tell the difference between the cold emanations of a glowstone and genuine sunlight. She was family, as much of it as he had left. He knew her soul.
"It's Larame. Alone? I can't tell.
Show me."
Overcoming his revulsion, Lurien took her hand in his, fingernails biting into her wrists. She turned her blind face down to their joined hands in shock.
"You don't think I'm going to face her alone, do you?"
he said. Lurien kicked himself back towards the edge of the vortex, dragging Namariel by the hand. The Namatai wriggled in his grip, aiding his clumsy strokes with paddling efforts of her own, as coordinated as a squid with two heads, and as elegant. But Lurien saw the fury of the eye of the vortex grow fainter, further. He turned his head to look over his shoulder, almost out.
"How do you intend to keep Larame from killing you outright?"
Namariel yelled. Lurien grinned, the battering elements infusing it with blushed cheeks and a glow of mania.
"She loves me. She'll want to hurt me first."
One last kick, and they were out. They floated free for what felt like a long time, spread-eagled, corpse-like almost, except for ragged breathing and the limpet-like hold they kept on each other's hands. Eventually, their drift out of the vortex began to slow, albeit through no action of their own making. The calmer waters beyond the vortex's immediate influence resisted their drift until they came to a stop. Exhausted, Lurien raised his head to look back, the debris of his worldly ambitions whipping around the whirlpool's funnel. Elves struggled and perished in near silence, dragged in, torn apart, their cries obliterated by the complete totality of its roar. It wasn't even sound anymore. It was an infinitely compacted fusion of sensation, light, noise, death. But to watch it happen was like watching stars fall. The awareness of watching a cosmic tragedy and yet being unable to see it as anything other than beautiful. Starting with a flick of a toe, a squeeze on Namariel's wrist that the Namatai returned, he nursed life back into his limbs and forced himself to turn away. Larame floated alone in the still water. Her coterie had either fled or been destroyed by the power they had helped her summon. Her eyes were hollow, her cheeks as insubstantial as the shadow cast by a thousand boiling souls over bone. Deep lines gnawed at her face. In the gauntlet of one hand she held a glowing shard of pink rock. She stared into the heart of its porous structure, chanting, until the rock slowly became dust in her palm, only the glow remaining.
"My nephew, keeper of the dead, she is mad," said Namariel.
"And whose doing was that?" Lurien returned.
"This is a crime that cannot be justified. That is soul coral in her hand. She has plundered Elgahin's Corellium for its power. That is how she is sustaining the Avatar."
"Aunt Larame!" Lurien yelled.
"Don't Aunt Larame me, nephew."
"Nephew,"
boomed the distant Titan. Larame turned towards him then, as though between facing him and bearing witness to the destruction of Gweth, and this was the task she found more onerous.
"This is one mess you'll not be talking your way back out of. Or your Namatai concubine. I think I might sooner command the ocean to destroy us all before listening to the excuses you might have for murdering my son."
"My son."
"I'm still your nephew."
"Look at yourself, broken and pathetic. You are no child of Lagithes."
"Child of Lagithes."
"Thank Mathlan," said Lurien. "She was a mean-spirited hag."
Larame cackled, the mirthless sound rumbling from the heart of the vortex like thunder as she drew another lump of pristine coral from the folds of her cloak. Its aura of power was brighter even than her own, streaming out from between her fingers, one star in the beginning stages of consuming another.
"You murdered my son."
"My son."
"Then set the enclaves to warring amongst themselves to please you. Claimed Gwethin, Dwihor, and even Elgain in the process, too. Believe me, nephew, there is more of her in you than you like to think."
"Think."
"Kill her," Namariel hissed, "while she is too angry to kill you."
"Then stop this, Larame," Lurien yelled. The White Queen laughed. She spat a word of ancient Eltharai, and the coral exploded in her hand, glittering her armour with magic. Namariel cried out in dismay. Far away, the Lagithe creature roared.
"No."
"No."
"I admired Nael," Lurien shouted. "I didn't want him to die."
"Here it comes," said Larame. "The excuses."
"Excuses."
"I didn't kill Nael."
"Then who did? The god of death?"
"Death."
Lurien pushed Namariel forwards.
"She did."
Larame looked from one to another, nonplussed, and then screeched with laughter.
"You think you can blame the closest Namatai?" You and your braggart friends may have gulled Vanglai with such tricks at the Azadrazo, but you will need to be more convincing with me.
With me?
Tell her, said Leonian.
I will do no such thing,
Namariel hissed. Larime sighed.
I think I'm going to kill you both now.
Kill you now.
Tell her, said Leorien.
Wither in Teclis's light, you selfish, true-souled beast.
Tell her. Namariel pedalled back from him in shock. Even Larime widened her eyes, her white halo guttering, taken aback by the deeper, resonant timbre that had entered Leorien's voice. It took Leorien a moment to realise that neither woman was, in fact, looking at him. He turned his head to follow their gazes over his right shoulder and almost dropped his spear.
Tell her!
Van Glyer's voice echoed. The Raid Lord's spirit shrinking back into the Eltharai runes of Eslekai like scum caught on an oar. Leorien still did not understand the full properties of the spear, nor how to use them. There was, he suspected, a great deal that Mahbor had neglected to tell him about its powers. But he had the feeling that the proud souls of Eslekai had judged the spirit of Vanglia Felglaive and found it worthy of a place amongst them. Spending an eternity guiding the destiny of those that would follow sounded a better prospect than the Coralaeum to Lurien. Better by far than the other alternative.
"My nephew slew the Felglaive,"
Larime breathed. The silence that swallowed her words was resounding. Namariel fell back, her mouth a gaping O of horror.
"You would not only betray me, but you would betray the dead."
With blind sockets she stared at the semi-molten spear.
"Their souls belong to their oblivion. They go to the gods."
"Tell her,"
Leorien said again.
"Leorien, you are as mad as she is."
"You told me once that your soul will wither before the Dark Prince will ever claim it."
Leorien lowered his spear, and pushing against the fierce currents of the oceans beyond, the weapon of the Felglaive did the same. "I don't know if there is enough inside you for Eslekai to hold on to, but I promise you, if you don't confess your full part in all of this right now, we will both be in no doubt by the time Larime summons the power to kill me."
"We could have killed her together,"
Namariel hissed.
"We could have ruled all of this together. There would have been no one left to challenge us."
She turned to glare hatefully, sightlessly, in Larime's direction.
"I told Morrigai to murder Prince Nael, but only because Leorien was too enamoured by him to see that it needed to be done. Any other Archelian would have done the deed himself, and my hands would be clean now. He would have done it cleanly, quietly, and Nael's spirit essence would now be interred in the Coralaeum that you would plunder so recklessly for power. Which of our souls is blacker, Larime? All I did was kill an elf. You have burned away 100 immortal souls."
When she was done, her voice was hoarse and Larime was stone. The eerie pulse of Eslekai hanging between them like a magistrate sent forth from the underworlds of Mirai to sit in judgment over their crimes. Larime turned to Leorien.
"Is this true?"
"It is."
"And yet you let her?"
A tear the colour of a glistening pearl rolled down the White Queen's cheek.
"You took the spoils of Nael's raiding. You claimed the allegiance of Elgaean, and you said nothing?"
Leorien found that he was grinning, his lips moving of their own accord.
"I did."
Larime snorted.
"Lagithi's son, indeed."
"You still have need of an heir?"
"I still need vengeance."
She turned to Namariel.
"No," said Namariel. No, I will not allow you to blame this all on me. I will not allow you to slither out of all culpability, as you always do.
With a hiss of metal, the Namatai drew a keening blade from its thigh sheath and lunged. The ghostlight haloing Eslekai shimmered and parted, and Lurien swung up the diamond ferrule to meet the unexpected attack. The impact threw his arm high, spun him half to the side, movement Namariel exploited to draw a dagger from her bodice sleeve and plunge it towards Lurien's stomach. She was quick as a Fangmora's flickering tongue. His spear was nowhere near. He grit his teeth, ready for the pain. It never came. The Namatai's knife was stuck, a hand's breadth from Lurien's belly as though in a block of ice. She pulled at it. It did not move. She screamed. If it made a sound, Lurien did not hear it. The water had withdrawn from her, leaving a bubble of dead space, empty even of air, about 6 feet across and 6 high, that the Namatai hacked at with her short sword to no avail. Ripples ran around the walls of the bubble. Pretty colours. Her blows became weak. She dropped her sword, started clawing at her throat instead. Soundlessly she folded like a wilting flower to the floor of the bubble. She mouthed words that Lurien could not make out. As fiercely as he wished to, he could not make himself look away. Larame, too, was staring hard, as though it were the power of her unbroken focus alone that sustained the void in which Namariel drowned.
"I understand that Nael suffered," she said, then extended her hand to the surface of the bubble.
Splinters of ice trailed between her fingers as she drained the water of even the vigour it needed to remain liquid, its rarer, solid form rising off her like air. At her touch, ice began to creep around the bubble's surface. Namariel struggled to keep her face above the spreading frost. Larame made a fist.
"Before he died," she finished.
Namariel breathed a last word against the ice. This one Lurien could make out, even if he still could not hear.
"No."
Larame struck the frozen sphere with her bald fist, the entire bauble and all that it had contained shattering into a million twinkling shards that one by one were already beginning to melt back into the ocean. Lurien dragged his gaze away from the pointless search for a corpse. Larame, he suspected, seldom left one. He turned to the White Queen and offered up his arm.
"Shall we return to our own kingdoms, then, Aunt Larame?"
Hesitantly, she hooked her arm through his and patted his wrist.
"Yes, nephew, let's."